Shabbat Shalom. On Tuesday evening, my family made its way through JFK as we transitioned out of summer vacation and into the new school year. Approximately 12 hours later, we were seated at our desks in the 10th, 8th, and 3rd grades. My husband was digging into days of messages that he needed to respond to, and I was in a senior staff meeting here. Vacation was over. But I ask your indulgence and allow me to bask in just a few minutes of summer vacation. Allow me to recall the beauty of our surroundings and the majesty that we took in over our week-plus stay in the Netherlands. And majesty is the right word here. We visited palaces. A town hall in Amsterdam that was converted into a palace by Louis Bonaparte, brother to Napoleon and first king of Holland. This palace is still used today as the official reception palace of the royal family. In The Hague, we learned about the Peace Palace, a palace dedicated in 1913 and built through major investments by Andrew Carnegie to ensure that countries and leaders no longer choose war, but have the tools of arbitration and impartial judgment to pursue peaceful paths forward. Of course, World War I broke out within 1 year of the Peace Palace's dedication, and many other wars have followed. I think about these structures that stand tall and strong for hundreds of years, the bricks alone telling a story of power and a vision for the future. These buildings, everything they stand for, are a legacy for the Dutch. By looking up at towers and spires, feeling wobbly from the corner cobblestones underfoot, hearing the whir and power of windmills, all senses are awakened to the history and memory that surrounds you. If this is the history of your people, I could only imagine the pride that encompasses you in feeling a deep connection to the meaning behind these sights and sounds. As I read through this week's parasha, Nitzavim Vayelech, I recognize that we are getting very close to the end of the book of Deuteronomy. Moses, our people's leader for more than 40 years, is about to die. He has just a few more opportunities to teach and guide the Israelites away from the mistakes they are destined to make, and to remind them of their history, their foundational stories, and the relationship and covenant they had established with God. At this point, don't you wonder how he will accomplish this mission? We are the descendants of the wandering and often exiled Jews. We have relatively few buildings and structures that capture the story of our people's legacy, and certainly none that Moses could have pointed to in his lifetime. This raises the question, what tools were within Moses' grasp to ensure that thousands of years later, the Jews of today would still be committed to our tradition and our values? This is the question that I carried with me on vacation. I wanted to learn how, beyond buildings, traditions, stories of a people, their values, and the legacies they inherit are conveyed and retold in ways that make them alive and meaningful for our generation and those that follow us. With this lens, I explored the Netherlands and learned something significant that I wish to share with you. On our single day in The Hague, we visited the M.C. Escher Museum. This is a national museum dedicated to one of the artists that the Dutch are proud to call their own. Coming from the land of Rembrandt, Vermeer, and Van Gogh, it's saying something significant about his importance that an entire museum is dedicated to Escher. And this museum is not in just any building. It's located in a palace, the former palace of Queen Mother Emma. Even if we weren't familiar with the work of Escher, we could already intuit his place in the canon of his country. Escher is revered and elevated. When I speak of Escher, I hope images come to mind of his work. When I was in college, every other bulletin board would have an Escher postcard or poster, right? His art was in many ways a symbol of the college experience. It is profound, complex, and utterly confusing. This is what drew us to his tessellations, these images that could repeat forever, of birds transforming into fish, or his 3D image of mirrored balls that carry his reflection, or the entertaining hands drawing hands simultaneously. This is Escher. There was a special exhibit on display when we visited the museum entitled The Man Who Discovered Escher, Samuel Yeshurun de Mesquita. Through this exhibit, we would learn about the influences on Escher, his early years. He would come alive for us as more than simply an artist. We would round out our understanding of the man. And we learned that Escher was a failed student. Unable to perform academically in school, he was therefore sent to art school. There he focused on architecture until his arts teacher, Samuel Yeshurun de Mesquita, recognized his talent and convinced him and his parents that he should focus on graphic design. The influence of de Mesquita on Escher was more significant than simply guiding him into his profession. With their works hung side by side, it is evident from their lines, shading, choice of subject, that this teacher deeply influenced his student. On display before us was a story of transmission. We would not falsely believe that Escher's talent sprung out of nowhere or was some divine inspiration. He was the recipient of a rich culture and tradition. His roots in Dutch art would be strong and deep. From these roots, he would blossom into one of the most recognizable artists in the world. Both Escher and de Mesquita had significant and accomplished careers, but certainly the student outshone the teacher. They remained close throughout their lives, with Escher crediting Samuel Yeshurun de Mesquita with being his artistic father. There, in this exhibit in a museum in The Hague, the message of transmission that I was seeking was clear. Yes, the palace and the museum dedicated to the work of a Dutch favorite son are important components in elevating the place of this artist. But add to the artwork the story of the formation of the artist, the influences on him, and drawn for us is a straight line between the received native art traditions to what he produced. The rich narrative is how to convey the value of history, legacy, and belonging to those of us encountering Escher on his 125th birthday. But there was more to Escher and de Mesquita's story to tell. When the Nazis invaded Amsterdam, de Mesquita, his wife and son, did not go into hiding. They believed that as Jews whose family arrived in Amsterdam following the Spanish and Portuguese Inquisitions hundreds of years earlier, they would be safe from persecution. They were Dutch and had the lineage to prove it. Most unfortunately, they were wrong. In January 1944, they were deported to Auschwitz and murdered. In February 1944, 1 month later, wanting to visit with his teacher and bring him food and produce from the countryside, M.C. Escher went to his teacher's home. There, he saw the ransacked apartment. Locating some of de Mesquita's original work, Escher quickly gathered them up and removed them from the home. When he returned the following day to collect more, the Nazis were there emptying everything that remained. Nothing else would be salvaged from the apartment. M.C. Escher recognized he was now the leading advocate for Samuel Yeshurun de Mesquita's memory. Following the Holocaust, in possession of his teacher's original pieces, Escher arranged a public exhibit of de Mesquita's work at the National Modern Art Stedelijk Museum in Amsterdam. De Mesquita's legacy would live on. His foremost student would ensure that despite his life having been cut short, de Mesquita would take his rightful place of prominence among the artists of the Netherlands. While M.C. Escher would continue to grow in international acclaim following the Holocaust, one exhibit honored him for both his artistry and his humanism. Four pieces of Escher's were included in an exhibit staged at Holland's National Art Museum, the Rijksmuseum, to honor Dutch artists who, despite significant financial loss, would not join the Kulturkammer, the Nazi Chamber of Culture. Those who resisted Nazism and suffered for it would now take their place as the leaders of the Dutch art world. Standing in this museum, I understood the message of this exhibit. The tradition that Escher inherited from his teacher was both an artistic and a humanitarian legacy. It is the interplay of these two values that has kept both men relevant for our time. For the Dutch viewer, imagine how much more powerful the message of the exhibit is. Standing in a palace in The Hague, the museum goer learns the art history of their people, which includes hundreds of years of Dutch and Jewish roots, along with the honored drive to resist fascism in the past and today. But history is not and need not be whitewashed. The Dutch story told here is one that acknowledges with shame that Dutch resistance was insufficient and came too late to save its country's Jews. 80 years on, the least we can do is remember and retell their stories. There is power in a national narrative. A national narrative, inclusive of history, foundational stories, values, degradation, and triumphs. This is what Moses, in the absence of buildings and rich material culture, could leave our people as a legacy before his death. The rabbis of the 9th century in the sermonic text of Deuteronomy Rabbah provide further description of the work that Moses embarked on in his last days on earth. They explain that Moses, wanting to ensure the future of Judaism, took an unprecedented step. He wrote down our narrative in a scroll. This became the first Torah scroll. But he didn't write just one. He wrote out 13 identical scrolls by hand. Why 13? One was for each of the 12 tribes. To learn our traditions and keep them alive for future generations, the tribes would have to study and review these words each time they gathered together. The 13th scroll was placed in the Ark of the Covenant to be owned jointly by all the Israelites. Moses' message was clear. In the absence of a building and limited material culture, we must focus instead on the story of our people. Retell it when we gather by family, by tribe, by community. Learn it and study it. Through the Torah, we will be able to read ourselves back into the text to derive personal meaning. By studying, honoring, and elevating our narrative, we remember, long after Moses had passed, how to maintain our covenant with God and one another, and transmit our values and traditions to the next generation. Shabbat Shalom.